Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and often interrupt our daily lives. This edition of 411 Teen features the Commercial Foods and Culinary Arts program at Lively Technical Center. Culinary arts are the arts of preparation, cooking, and presentation of food. One learns specific cooking methods and technique, in addition to overall appearance and taste of the food. The Lively Culinary Arts Program is competency-based education that provides the learning skills required to gain employment and food preparation. This hour, I'm welcome to have Chef Benny. Chef Benny Butcher is the chef instructor at Lively Technical Center. He's also into writing poetry and preparing delicious foods and, well, I can't read this.
Desserts.
Desserts and tabletop settings and all that stuff.
Yes, okay. Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And I again, appreciate you coming.
Thank you
also,
so much for having me.
I'm really looking forward to a special. The students brought us some apple pie, so that's even better. They know. Ariana Richardson, a special thanks to her because she is the one who really initiated this program. She was on 411 Teen for another discussion, and this came up, and so she brought this up, and it turned into a program. So a special thanks to you. She's a student at Sales. She's a senior. She likes sleeping and reading and baking and dancing.
Hello, everyone.
And Shanye Green is a student at Lively Tech. She is a senior in culinary arts, and she likes to make beautiful food that tastes great, and she just enjoys being a mom.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, again, I thank all of you so much for, you know, coming and looking forward to what you have to share. Share with us how, first of all, tell me about the program, okay?
So,
when did you first become interested in culinary arts? How far back?
That is a tough question. I have loved culinary since I was very little. My first memory of culinary that I always talk about is my grandmother at 5 years old taught me how to fry an egg.
Okay.
And then it all kind of took off from there. I always liked being in the kitchen. I always enjoyed working with food and around food. And being a bigger guy, I always liked eating food. So that was always kind of went hand in hand. It was probably around, I'd say, high school that I started to realize I was way more into it than most people.
Oh, really?
When I was in ninth grade, I took a year's worth of cooking courses at my local high school in Fayette County, Georgia, and had a wonderful experience there. And then when I was a senior in high school, I got to working with the school newspaper, and I became the kind of food critic for the school as much as I could be, I suppose. And I loved doing that. But funnily enough, when I left college, I thought I was going to be an English teacher. So I studied creative writing, and I did English and all of those different kinds of things, which is where the love for poetry and all that stuff comes from. And it was when I was about 21 years old, I kind of had this realization after teaching middle school where I was like, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I don't think I could teach middle school forever. And I ended up going to Jacksonville, Florida, and going ahead to Florida State College of Jacksonville and getting my culinary degree. Did a lot of other things while I was there that helped me out to get that culinary degree. I ended up competing competitively in speech and debate across this across the country, which was a huge deal. Gave me a full-ride scholarship to get my degree. Finished my degree in 2012 and came to Tallahassee. And have been cooking in Tallahassee pretty much ever since. And I've always just really loved the kitchen atmosphere. So I've liked to stick around there.
Okay. All right. Now, does that same, or do any of those things touch where you're coming from? Because, you know, I was going to ask you, when did you all as students become interested in culinary arts, in cooking? I mean, did you come from a family? Some families, the center of the house is the kitchen. Okay, I mean, did you come from that kind of family? How did you? I'll start with you, Ariane. How did you become interested? When did you find yourself interested?
When I was a little girl, and my grandma used to babysit me a lot before mm-hmm. she passed away, and we used to bake a lot, and it was a great experiment. Because then we would have time together like that. And every Sunday, we have a Sunday dinner. Because we go to church, but when we don't go to church, because we're cooking Sunday dinner for everyone else.
Oh, okay.
And she used to take me to her job where she works to help people who have issues and things like that. And mm-hmm. I go in the back of the kitchen, and I try to help as best as I can. But with a little kid, all I can pretty much do is count cans.
Uh-huh, okay.
And so when she passed away, I was thinking about what I'm going to do in the future. Like, first I wanted to be president, so. And then saying I was like, maybe I could do something else. And then one day I was baking a cake from scratch, and I gave it to my friends. And someone said, wow, Ariana, you should do this for a living. And I was like, okay.
You liked it, though.
I loved it.
Yeah.
So when I got here, it was nice because then I was able to cook what I want to do, and then they teach me things that I never knew before, and they tell me cool stories about their things, and that's what I want to do in my life.
Okay.
My story is a little different. I never wanted to be a chef. Actually, I never thought about it.
Okay.
So,
wow, that's interesting.
My dad was a chef, and actually he was a chef with Chef Greg Foden, which is one of the teachers there. So I knew about cooking when I was little, but I was not interested, and I couldn't cook at all. And then 3 years – no, it's been 4 years now. 4 years ago, just one day, I was like, I'm going to start cooking. I didn't want to work for nobody no more, so I was like, I'm going to start my own business, and it just happened to be cooking. My mom was like, I don't think you should do that because you don't know how to cook. And I was like, I'm going to learn.
That's an important point. I think you do this.
So I actually started cooking stuff, and people were saying it was good, and I was like, what? So I just kept cooking and growing from there, and now, you know, I've been catering for 4 years, and I decided to come to school because I seen Chef Greg at one of my caterings. He did an ice sculpture, and he was like, hey, I remember you. You're, you know, your boo's daughter. And I'm like, yeah. He was like, you should come to school. And I was like, maybe, maybe not. And then I ended up coming, and I love it because they actually do. They teach me a lot of stuff that I didn't know, and I really appreciate it. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I feel like this is the best thing for me.
So what mm-hmm. I hear from both of you is that this culinary arts is something that you plan to pursue professionally.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
definitely.
It's not just something you're taking on the side. Now, you're still a student at SAIL.
Yes.
And tell me how that program works. I mean, because you graduate, what, end of May?
Yes.
Okay, but how long have you been involved with the culinary arts at Lively? And how does that work for those who may be interested, someone who may hear and think, oh, maybe that's something I would like to do? So what I understand is high school students in Leon County can dual enroll, and tell us how that works.
Okay, so how it happens is I take my classes in the morning mm-hmm. until lunchtime, and then I wait for my mom to come pick me up and drop me off at Lively till 1 to 4.
Okay, and so you have to, excuse me for interrupting, just so they'll understand. So you have to provide your own transportation to
yes.
get there. Okay, okay.
And since it's from SAIL, it's not that far. I can easily
yeah,
walk over there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't because it's a good amount of walking. But mm-hmm. it's nice, and it's close by, so mm-hmm. I don't have any excuses not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I purposely finished all my courses, so during this year, I just got to do math and English so I can have more time in culinary.
Okay. All right. And what does that involve when you say have more time in culinary? I mean, can you share with us, and I want this from all of you, what does enrollment in the culinary arts program require? I mean, what are the requirements? I would think that you would have to have a certain level of math and a certain level of reading.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
absolutely.
Because you really need, I mean, even you could go as far as saying chemistry and
mm-hmm.
nutrition, because
yes.
when I think about culinary, it really,
it's
unless I'm wrong,
field.
Involves all of that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So one of the things that we require, for instance, we know students have to take a competency test.
Okay.
They have to take a basic competency test and prove that they are competent in math, reading, and writing.
Okay.
With a score of 9 or better in any of those subjects.
Now, if they don't score high enough, is there a remedial
yes,
component?
You can
you?
Yes. While
okay.
you're enrolled in the culinary program, you can also enroll in Triple AE. Which is where you're able to go and you're able to take tests to help you gain those competencies so that you can effectively test out of those areas.
All right.
And that works right in hand with your culinary schedule as well. So if you do, like, culinary, if you come in the mornings, you do lunch service, and then when lunch service is over, you do some cleaning up, and then you can go into AAAE in the afternoons and work on those remedial subjects and things like that. And other than that, it depends on if you want to go full-time or part-time.
And what constitutes part-time versus full-time?
So part-time students come from either 8:45 or come from 8 a.m. in the morning to 11:45.
Okay.
And then afternoon students have been coming from 12:15 to 4, I believe, is the area.
Mm-hmm.
However, we've had a lot of changes in the culinary program, and so the afternoon students we have decided to bring back. So we're actually just doing part-time morning students now. So that way, because on days when we have caterings or something, if we have a catering and then, you know, there's cleanup afterwards, it can be more that the afternoon students are coming in and kind of in this cleanup mode, and we didn't want them to be getting that sort of short end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
So we really wanted them to be cooking and having that experience, which we usually get more so in the morning than in the afternoons.
You said something. I want to stop right there. You all provide catering, too?
Yes, ma'am. We do catering services all over Tallahassee. We have done quite a different few events. We recently did a whole week of catering for Diverse Computing here in Tallahassee, brought them Indian meals and Latin American meals. We brought them American style. We did an Italian style meal one day. We've done caterings for the Chamber of Commerce. We did the longest table event in the fall, which was huge, 250 people, which was a big success, and people absolutely loved it.
So anybody in the community can solicit your services?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
And how do they contact you?
They can contact me if they go onto the Lively Technical Center website, if they go to Commercial Foods and Culinary Arts in our programs. My email and my office number are listed right there.
Okay.
They can email myself or Chef Greg Folden, who's my colleague. We work together, do a lot of stuff hand in hand. And if they want to contact us through that, they can. Or they could easily just call up Lively Technical and ask to be connected with Culinary, and they would forward us down there, and we can have a conversation about whatever it is they want. And we have done... Literally, when people ask, they always ask for a menu, and I tell them that the menu is really what you want. Okay. If you tell us to make it, we can make it happen.
Okay.
And so it's we are there to give a limitless option.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I've got the folks who really know what's happening, and that's about food. I had to interrupt you, Chef Benny, but would you continue telling us about the program? One thing I've meant to ask you before you get started is I would think that even though it may not be a prerequisite on paper, maybe unofficially a prerequisite might be personality, because you have to work. It seems like it's a team effort. I mean, am I right? You know, and you got to be able to communicate and work well with each other. And we didn't talk about that part, but, you know, we were talking about the other math and whatever, but is that the case?
Absolutely. I tell kids all the time, especially when we're talking about culinary, that the kitchen is a very stressful, volatile kind of environment at times, because you're hot, you're working really hard, you're sweating, you're moving a lot of stuff around. It's very stressful, especially when you have 200 people coming through the door and they've all got to be fed at a certain time. That can wear on a person.
Yeah,
and so I tell
think
people
so.
That absolutely. I tell people that or I tell the kids especially that, you know, it's everyone in the kitchen tends to have a really big personality, because they tend to be people that maybe didn't fit into a lot of other work environments anywhere else. And the kitchen is kind of the, it's It's the land of the misfit toys, you know? It's that sort of, it's everyone has a place there, and it becomes this kind of family.
You're all artists. Yes. And, you know, artists have their own idiosyncrasies. I mean, that's the way I look at chefs. I don't know. I think that everybody is an artist there. You're creating a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. I mean, for you, it's your masterpiece, right? Y'all are nodding. Feel free. They can't see you.
Definitely. I feel like we're artists, too, because we all want to create our own thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about, and again, to all of you, what are there, as far as the coursework is concerned, is there an academic component to it or a theoretical component to it? Talk to us about that before we get into the hands-on part.
Yeah, we do. We do a lot of testing. We learn, our chefs teach us about you know, being sanitary, which is very important.
Very important.
Yeah, that's very important. They teach us about, you know, like how to store stuff so that
that's
other things won't be
too
contaminated, all of those things. So we get to learn all of that, too, which is the basics. And then we start learning how to cook, like, you know.
You have anything you want to add?
Yes.
Okay.
Our first month when you get there is pretty much how to clean your hands. Yes.
And is there a particular way? I mean, can you walk
Absolutely.
Us through it? Okay,
it's,
walk us through it.
It's.
I guess you have to have short fingernails. Huh?
You want to have short, no fingernails, no hanging jewelry, no perfume, all that stuff, because we operate on ServSafe standards, which is a national set of standards. We train all our kids in SafeStaff, which is for Florida, and they all get SafeStaff cards so they can work in restaurants anywhere in Florida and already have those standards met. But it's, for the hand washing thing, it's really a matter of being thorough, because I feel like a lot of people kind of run their hands under hot water
That's
and then they
true.
Kind of walk away. And so I always tell them, like, and then even more so, a lot of people will just use hand sanitizer, and I'm like, that's not
that's
cleaning
not
your hands. It's, there's two very different things.
Okay.
And so we talk about the difference between cleaning and sanitizing, and how cleaning is removing visible dirt and sanitizing is removing all the biological components you can't see and things like that. And we try to encourage and include a lot of the education and the science and the math behind it as well. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a lesson in my class about the costing out of foods and how to properly cost a recipe, how to, you know, upcharge or how to calculate a food cost percentage, stuff like that. That is, it sounds complicated, but it's all very basic kind of division and multiplication. So it's one of those things that it's necessary and it helps you a lot when you're
so
in this industry. So, and I tell kids all the time that baking and cooking are a lot of science. And if you kind of understand the scientific principles behind it, you can then apply those and transfer that knowledge to a lot of other areas in cooking as well. And so that's always fun once you kind of start getting, because really, culinary school, in my opinion, is there to kind of show you, okay, this is the box, these are the edges, these are the rules that you have
this
to play in, and now that you've gotten those things in the box, let's go out of the box and apply them to other fields. And that's really where Greg and I try to go with it when we teach. You know, Greg's whole thing, especially like when he did the sauces, he would show them how to do a mother sauce, and then he would go, if you add a little bit of this in, it's a this. If you add a little bit of this in, it's a different sauce. If you add this in, it's a different sauce. And so it was how to take that one sauce and then make five contemporary sauces out of it for different applications and different kinds of, you know, meats you know, vegetables or something, depending on what usage you were going to use it for.
Now, what classes again to all of you, what classes do you start out with when you first started? And how long, I got so many questions, and how long is the program? I mean, can you go 2 years, 3 years, or how long have you been in it?
Well, it takes 1 year, but I came back because I wanted to learn more.
Oh.
We do allow some of the high schoolers to return. If they want to return and they left in good standing, they can totally come back and do it all over again, and we can get them a little more advanced stuff or a little more training in areas they may have not gotten to do a lot of in before. So that's kind of where we try to go with all that. And then everybody starts in OCPA, though, which is
what
your
is
basics.
That?
OCPA is, since we do it as 4 points, OCPA, B, C, and D. It's a 1,200-hour program. Each section is 300 hours. OCPA is where everybody starts, and that's about safety and sanitation, basic principles of cooking, how to properly measure, how to do things along that line, product identification sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that people go wrong, particularly when it comes to measuring? Because that was interesting. It kind of sparked me when you said how to properly
measure. People go wrong in using the wrong cups. So
that's what I was wondering about. Yeah.
Everybody has that measuring cup with the liquid spout on it at home, and it's, they mm-hmm. use it to measure everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But a dry measuring cup and a liquid measuring cup, the liquid's meant, and it's measured in fluid ounces, whereas the dry measuring cups are more by a weight sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if you were going to measure out a cup of flour in a plastic liquid measuring cup is not the same as a cup of flour in, like, a metal measuring cup that's got a flat edge.
Okay.
So, and it's also got the flat edge, so you're able to scrape off the excess and get a more accurate measure.
Is it important that you scrape off the excess?
Yeah.
You know, because I've seen people that just, I mean, like, for example, my grandmother cooked, and she was a fantastic cook. But she didn't measure anything.
And see, now that's something that is changing because we have recipe books. I think you guys might have seen some of them. And the recipe books we have.
Pinch of those,
it'll be like a pinch of this or a dash of that and a little bit of this. And it's like, well, wait, what is that?
That's
like,
why I was asked. When you said that, that's exactly why I wanted to ask you about measuring.
It's, we get away from that in the culinary education system. And so one of the things that we do a lot with teaching culinary and with cooking in general is that I always say that in a lot of times when you see the recipes, you're going to measure in weight because weight tends to be the most accurate kind of measurement.
Okay.
But with – it's interesting that you even ask about all that because, you know, cooking, like if you were doing something where you're just dumping in a cup of flour for like a batter or something.
Oh, that's different.
That's different.
Right.
Because that's really – you kind of are looking for a look or a feel of a product. Mm-hmm. Whereas with baking, baking's
really
more of a science.
Yeah. It's really important when it's baking because if you add too much of something, then it changes the
consistency.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a little important for you to know the difference.
Yeah. You agree?
Mm-hmm. I tried to do that today, actually. I like to do what is called like hybrid baking, where I take one thing and make it and another thing and like combine it together.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this thing on Instagram with the cookie that you break open and Nutella spills out. And I wanted to do that, but instead of like Nutella, I used caramel. And I forgot to spray the little thing down, even though the cookie already had butter in it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took it out, the cookie was running. And it was stuck to the parchment paper. And then, but the best part about the class is they give their own piece of advice that actually sounds a lot better. So I'm going to try it again tomorrow.
Okay.
And, you know, that's, I'm a big fan of Julia Child and the way that she used to prepare and the way she used to cook. And so I always tell the kids, usually like week one, we'll watch this video of like the funniest Julia Child moments and like all of the things that she did in the kitchen. And there's this one clip where she's making a frittata or something and she goes to flip it. And she flips it in the pan, and half of it falls out and falls all over the oven. And she goes, oh, if no one's in the kitchen, just put it back in the pan. No one will know. And I tell the kids all the time, I'm like, you're going to mess up. No. I'm like, this is
everybody messes.
Everybody messes up. And I tell them all the time, I would rather you mess up here in the kitchen where you're testing than to be out in the working world and mess up out there.
Right.
So I tell kids all the time, I'm like, don't be ashamed to admit a failure or a mistake, because that's how you learn. That's how you get better, especially in cooking. Because you can make a pot four times in one day, and each time it's going to be different. It's going to get better. So it's that's one of the things that drew me to this field, because it was, you know, with writing, it was one of those things where if you write a book, you can spend 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of your life writing a novel, and then no one can like it.
Right.
And everyone just, you know, pans it and thinks it's awful. But you can cook a pudding in an afternoon, and if it's bad, no one knows about it except for you. You know, and so then the one you give to everybody is the good pudding that everybody's just going crazy for.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good feeling when they eat your food and they love it, and that's the rewards you get from this program and being in this field, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes I bring some desserts to my mom because I feel like the best taster in the world is like your family, because they don't lie to you. They be like, they don't be around the bush. They go destroy the bush and then tell you how bad it is. Because one time I brought in some cookies and I was like, can you taste this, Mom? And she tasted it. And she's like, it tastes all right. And I was like, what's wrong? So you can add a little bit more of this. And then when I remade it, she said, that tastes like, it tastes better than what you made before.
Oh, okay.
And when I give it to my friends, they'd be like, oh, it tastes okay. And I was like, I mean, it tastes great. And I said, don't lie to me. I tasted it myself. Why are you lying to me?
Uh-huh. Why do you all think we are seeing this increased interest in culinary art? I mean, yeah, we saw it with Julia Childs and, you know, some of the chefs back way back then. But now, I mean, you have whole channels on it, mm-hmm. and books everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Kids doing it.
Yeah, kids doing it. Mm-hmm. You're right. That's
a more women are mm-hmm. doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Go right ahead.
I know. Because I'm baking, I'm so excited for this dance. Baking is like, baking and cooking is just like art, like you said. Mm-hmm, and some people, but this is art that you can eat and get that money.
Mm-hmm.
Most people will do it for the money. Other people will do it because it's nice to see other people who have that warm feeling you have when you eat the food, too. Mm-hmm. You have different ways to inspire you. And for me, I want to open my own restaurant because I want the same feeling I had when I was with my grandma. That same warm feeling after I ate a chocolate mm-hmm. chip cookie that's fresh out the oven. And it's like art when you see it in front of your face. And it's very emotional, but it's a very good thing to do.
That makes sense. I mean, it is art.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I definitely
think that, you know, going off, piggybacking off what Ariana said, the reason we've seen such a big boom, and piggybacking off of what Shanye said too, is that we, one, have so much representation of, you know, Food Network and the Cooking mm-hmm. Channel and all these different shows. Gordon Ramsay's been a big part of it. He's kind of brought the celebrity chef thing to him and Bobby Flay are both the big celebrity chefs that everybody knows, everybody wants to meet. And, you know, shows like MasterChef Junior especially, where you have these kids that are like 8 to 11 years old pumping out food that, like, chefs of 20 years are like, I have no idea how they did that.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It is.
And so we're seeing this, I think we're seeing this huge boom in it because people are finding kind of a happiness with it. And I think that for a long time, it's always been this idea that, like, chefs are very, you know, that they have this kind of personality and they're this kind of person and this, that, and the other. And I think that over time, we're starting to see that a lot of the things that, you know, we thought these amazing chefs were doing, and, you know, they are amazing and they did do great things. But, you know, and I tell the kids this all the time, a lot of what we do in the kitchen are little magic tricks. They're little things that just make a big difference and make somebody go, ooh, and ah. And it's, you know, that knowledge of how to use that to your advantage is what's key to it. But I think people are finding themselves in cooking positions just because they find themselves happy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book called The Making of the Chef, and one of the things they talk about is how almost everyone in his culinary class is like 30, 35 years old, and they all had jobs that they did for 5 or 10 years before then, and then they left that to come and be a part of, you know, a culinary course, and they wanted to cook. Like Ms. Shanye was saying, she just got tired of working for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many people run their own catering companies just because they can cook and they like doing it and they didn't want to be bossed around by anybody else. They wanted to be in charge of their own finances, their own business, how things were working. And, you know, the hospitality industry makes up 33% of the job market. It's a third of the job market. So it's, you know, when I was in culinary school, I had chefs who were, they have 30 years of experience. And they would tell me, you know, I've been out of culinary school since the 70s and I've never been without a job.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those things where, you know, and I tell the kids this all the time, it's one of those skills where if you want to travel the world, you want to see things, you want to go somewhere, that's the skill. Because it's a skill with two hands that nobody can take away from you ever.
Right.
And even if you don't speak the language in a country, if you can walk into a kitchen and make pasta from scratch, you're going to get a job just because you have knowledge of the technique.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about it. So.
Did you have some?
Yeah, I was about to say about the little babies that cook. My little sister, she's 9 years old. She just turned 9 around like December. She cooked dinner one night and it was so good. I looked at my little sister and I said, all right.
And so
she gave me a run for my money because I don't like to bake. I don't like to cook like that. I like to bake more.
Okay.
And then she likes to make her own food. And I asked her, I said, why do you like to bake all of a sudden? I thought you wanted to be a dancer because you know how like kids pick one decision,
and they go something,
go jump to a different one. And then she said the most sweetest thing. She said, well, because you like to bake and it makes you happy.
Aww.
And I was like,
all right.
And I wanted to hug her, but she pushed me away. and she loves it.
What are your exams composed of? If that one has an exam, and you might not have time, but if you have an exam, what do you have to do? What is your exam?
They vary. Okay. Our written exams aren't super intensive. Our written exams aren't meant to be something that we like want to fail people with. It's just meant to make sure that you have a general competency, that you can convert a recipe if you need it to make for 50 people. You know, or that, you know, you know different kinds of cheeses, or like what makes, you know, what makes a soft milk cheese and what makes, you know, a hard cheese. What are the differences in those kind of things? But really a lot of the testing comes down to more practical. And so, like, we serve lunch every day, Monday through Thursday.
Oh, do you?
From, yeah, out of the Lively Student Cafeteria. So we do lunch every Monday through Thursday out of there. Mondays and Wednesdays we do homemade burgers and pizza. Tuesdays we do fried fish day. And Thursdays we do our fried chicken day. Always a nice big success. People always like it. It's a lot of fun to have the students get to kind of work in that sort of buffet inside. Kind of mm-hmm. setup and that sort of restaurant setup. And really, that's more where the testing knowledge comes in. Okay. Because cooking is, if you just focus on what's written and the theory of it, mm-hmm. you're never really going to get it. It's so much about that practical application knowledge that we really try to watch as the kids are kind of doing their own things. And, you know, as they're preparing foods and then sort of, okay, well, this is what you did right. This is what you did wrong. Like, let's talk about why this recipe didn't work. And that's really more where the assessment comes in, more so than, you know, oh, well, you didn't, right. you know this question on this test. Because in the real world, that's kind of not how it works with culinary. Right. So
well, that's why I asked, because I thought, well, would a test be making a particular dish? You know, that would be the mm-hmm. way you would test in culinary arts, as opposed to, you know, the written type of thing. I'm sure there's some real basics that one needs to know. But it seems like your product would be making the cake or whatever you need to make. I mean, this is just fascinating. We could talk about this all day. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this hour I am talking with Chef Benny Butcher from Lively Technical Center.
Yes, ma'am.
And two of his students, Ariana Richardson and Sean Ye.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Green.
That's right.
And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you all coming. I mean, it's just a real treat. I mean, it's a lot of fun for me just to hear and to learn. But what about, let's talk about a little bit more about the program. What about the cost, I mean, and the tuition and textbooks and fees? How does that work? Now, I guess if you're a student and you're duly enrolled, do you still have to pay extra? How does that work? Just for the listening audience, there may be people that are very interested. If I wanted to come and take a class, could I just walk in from the street and take it? How does that work?
So registration, everybody's got to register
right.
through Lively Technical Center,
yeah.
of course. Registration windows are usually toward the end of the spring semester and the end of the fall semester. We take new students in the beginning of the fall. We take new students in the beginning of the spring as well. If you qualify for financial aid, you can get financial aid to help you pay for anything, any kind of school-related costs, books, equipment, things like that.
Now, what kind of equipment does one need?
Everybody gets... Oh, go ahead.
We need a knife set for sure. And then we get our uniforms.
What knife sets do you recommend? Because, you know, sometimes you can buy a knife set and they aren't any good.
Well, they provide us with a kind there at school.
Okay, I see.
It works really well.
Okay. Sure. And well, the reason I ask, because, you know, you see all these advertisements, Cuisinart, get this, mm-hmm. get that. And so that's why I was asking, how do you know? Okay.
We get everybody. Everybody gets a nice quality set of It's stainless steel forge knives.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 10-piece set. Everybody gets one that comes through the program. And it's one of those things where I tell the kids, if you take care of it, you'll have it for the rest of your life. I have the same Mercer culinary set that I got when I was in culinary school.
Oh, really?
And I still use mine to this day. So it's,
and when you
it's
say take
set.
Care of it, what does that mean?
Making sure you're honing your knives, okay. that you're keeping them sharp, and making sure that you are putting them away and storing them properly okay. is the big part of that. Honing it is a really big thing because everybody thinks that sharpening and honing are kind of the same.
Okay.
But
make the distinction.
The distinction is, so when you sharpen a blade, you're wearing the old edge completely off and you're putting in a new one, which eats away the metal of the blade. So technically, you're kind of cutting the life of your knife shorter. Honing your blade, whenever we use a knife, because the knife edge is all nice and straight, as it gets used, it starts to bend and warp and change, mm-hmm. which is what makes our knife dull. And so when you hone it with that little steel, it's a long rod mm-hmm. that everybody usually has in their kitchen and they think it's right. for sharpening. It's actually for honing. What you use that for is to straighten that blade back out and keep it sharp. And so you usually only want to have to sharpen your kitchen knives about once or twice a year to take them to an actual professional sharpener. Any more than that, and you're probably not honing them enough.
So, and I think you answered my question. Do you need to take them and have them professionally done, or can you do it yourself?
I always say take your knives to get professionally sharpened.
Okay.
Just because you will have a better edge that way, and it's usually cleaner. And mostly because most people don't have a grind wheel sitting around their house mm-hmm. that's ready to sharpen a knife.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do and you're comfortable doing that kind of thing, you could do it at home. I would just always recommend I'm the kind of person though that takes my car to get my oil changed. So I'm gonna always take it to a professional.
You're not gonna do it. Okay. what about I guess there are tons of employment opportunities.
Yes. Okay. You want to go ahead and say that? Okay. yeah, there's a lot of different ways. I remember I did an actual project about culinary, and it was like a scientist. I don't know what the word is.
Food scientists
or mm-hmm. like nutritionists and things okay. like that. That's a great way to learn and things like that. So not usually like, oh, yeah, you learn how to bake, you can do this, but you can break down culinary into different sections.
That was my next question because, we often think about baking, but there's more than just baking and the pastries and that kind. So elaborate. I mean, what are the basic areas of cooking, I guess? Is that the correct way to ask that?
There's
yeah.
Yeah, like different stations kind of thing?
Yeah, stations.
Yeah.
Okay.
The way that we've always broken it up, or the way that I've always seen it broken up in a lot of kitchens, is usually, you get your line cooks, which are your guys that are making, they're cooking the dishes, each dish as it comes. You've got your pastry chefs that are kind of in charge mm-hmm. of your, pastries, your desserts. You've got a sous chef who usually is the under chef. He's running things when the executive chef is away.
Okay.
And then usually you have your executive chef who's expediting and, making sure dishes go out clean. But that's kind of your general setup that you're going to see in most restaurants.
Okay.
Beyond that, as far as what the careers can be, it can be so much more. You can be a garde-manger chef, which garde-manger is a keeper of the cold kitchen. And so that's your guy who does, your ceviches and your dips uh-huh. and your salads and your ice carvings. That's the kind of stuff that a garde-manger chef might do. Whereas if you wanted to do food science, that's more understanding the chemical process of how food works and might require more a 4-year degree or even a master's degree for some places.
Mm-hmm.
Food photography is a huge booming field right now.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Where people are, everybody's paying a lot of money to get their food, have nice pictures taken and things like that. And mm-hmm. That's its own science too, because the way they do everything is so specific to make the picture look a certain way. And I mean, I've watched them do it where they've taken French fries and stuck each one on a needle and then put them very precisely inside
the carton
so they look like they're mm-hmm. fanning out and it's really full. They'll, when they do grill marks on
really?
Something. Oh, yeah. When
like
they do
the
grill
ice cream
marks,
trick.
Tell us, no, how,
go
tell
for
us
it.
Some of these.
The ice cream trick is pretty much is they don't use real ice cream because when they have the, because you never really, the
it's
sun,
the light. Lights like in here, right.
They use color mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Or the pancake one when they don't use syrup because the syrup soaks in with the pancakes. They use engine oil.
Oh!
Oh my god, it's wild.
People, like, if they do grill marks on something, you'll see a food photographer, and they'll have like a bunch of little metal rods out, and they'll be on this heating platform, and then they'll take each one and very precisely like put down a mark, and they'll hold it for a second or two, and then they'll put that one down, and then they'll get another really hot one and put it down, and they'll do the marks like this, and then they'll come back and they'll make the cross hatch. It's wild, some of the stuff they do with food photography.
It looks so pretty, though.
What about fruit?
In the fresh fruit, they use deodorant spray for the shiny look.
I would, you know, this is just fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they always use, like, if you see ice cubes in a drink or something, usually they're plastic fake ice cubes because they melt too quick underneath the lamps.
That's right. That makes sense.
It's really cool, like, some of the stuff, like... Usually if you see a ham or something, it's not actually a cooked ham. It's they've just, like, painted it and lacquered it to make it look like it's caramelized and all cooked up. And yeah, it's cool.
It really is. It's really fascinating. Yeah.
Food photography is absolutely wild. And then we have a photography program at Lively, too. So you can kind of do culinary and then go into photography and merge those two things together.
That's great. Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was about to say, you ever seen those commercials and you see the food that's just falling into the bowl perfectly? They actually do it backwards.
Oh, okay.
So they lift it up in the air and then
when it falls. I didn't know that. That's kind of brilliant.
I done that once for like a video thing.
What have you learned? I mean, I know you've learned a lot, okay? But when you think about what you've learned in the program thus far, What do you think just stands out? What kind of little trick or tidbit that has just been the most beneficial and has made a world of difference?
For me, it was baking. Before I came to Cold Napa, I did not bake anything.
Actually, you weren't a baker.
A box cake, right. So, and that where it comes into measuring was what those cups, because I was the one with the liquid cup trying to measure everything. And I used to be like, why does my cake taste so wrong? And then when I switched to the other one, actually, now I can make great tasting cake.
You understand the difference.
Yeah, so that was really big for me.
What about you, Ariana?
What was the question again?
Well, What has been the most significant thing that you think you've learned, or how's it made a difference in your culinary skills?
The second semester, they let us bake pretty much what we want. So every time, before I get there, I go on to YouTube and just look at stuff I always wanted to make because I have a Pinterest page. I think that's what everyone wanna do. Just like, I just want to make this in Pinterest, and then now I can do it. And so that's the good... A great thing to learn too, because in first time making it and learn how to make it from scratch and things like that. Because when I used to bake from the box, but now I can make some Mehan chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, okay.
Like hybrid baking.
Now they're all different areas. What's your favorite? I mean, you keep talking about baking, so I guess baking is yours.
Yes.
Mine is food plating. I like to do that type of stuff. So, like, last semester in Chef Bennett's class, we did, like, a competition, and he gave us these ingredients. And he was like, okay, now you have an hour to make this food. And I'm like, really? And so we did that, and it was really fun.
What kind of things do you give them and tell them to make?
So he gave us, like... Chicken and potatoes and like
asparagus
or something. I was just like, really?
And
we had to, he was like, I'm going to grade you on creativity, taste. And I'm like, okay. He's like, you only have an hour. I'm like, wow, and that hour goes by so fast.
I'm sure.
Really fast.
But actually, it was pretty fun. I really liked that because I'm into like the whole plating and stuff like that. And I like that, watching those competitions on like TV and stuff. I love it. So that was really fun. We should do that again.
When you think about the biggest challenge, what has been the biggest challenge for you in the program? What did you have to overcome?
Trying international pastries. I try to make a Japanese fluffy cheesecake, and it tastes like eggs.
Oh, yeah.
The recipe didn't call for vanilla or nothing, but it was my first time making it. And I knew, I said, maybe I should add something else in here. And I was baking with somebody else, and it's like, you should follow the recipe, Ariana. I said, I know, but at the same time, I still want to add this in here. And I said, well, it's my first time making it, so I'm just going to make it how it says. It tastes like straight eggs. It tastes like really fluffy eggs. And I was like, what is this?
And that's super interesting that you would even say that, too, because it's at, American concept of pastry and sweetness is such on a different level than like every other country. Like if you talk to people who come here and they eat food, they'll be like, why is everything in America so sweet?
That's all what my mom of it is so sweet.
They're like, the bread is sweet. Why is it so sweet? And so like for you to be like, it tastes just like eggs, like that
for them was amazing.
That's the way they want it presented and that's the way they want to eat it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, their sweetness is things like red bean and green tea and things that are just mildly sweet and offer that different kind of texture.
Definitely.
Whereas in America, we're like, give me the chocolate, give me the whipped cream, give me the strawberries macerated in sugar. Like, that's I want that. Yeah, and then leave me alone. I'm going to eat my pie. So it's, you know, that's kind of it's interesting that you should say that, like, international pastries are kind of, you know, what was your big overcoming thing? Because I think it's really neat because now that you've done that and you're like, wow, this isn't sweet enough for me. I couldn't, you know, you couldn't serve that to an American person. Mm-hmm. And like, but now because you have that knowledge and you have the knowledge of the kind of stuff that Americans do like to eat, you can marry those two concepts and, you know, make something new and something different, which is what cooking's all about.
Wow.
I'm impressed. Okay. When one finishes your program, where do they go from there? I mean, do they need supplemental educational programs? I mean, what are the options?
So I tell everyone when you come into culinary, when you graduate through culinary, that this is the kind of field where you're never not a student. For the next, you know, however many years you work in this, you will always be a student. Just because of the fact that there are so many different things, and the food trends change so much. I tell kids that they want to become a part of the American Culinary Federation, the ACF, which is the biggest culinary organization in the country, just to have that networking opportunity with all those other chefs, but then also to be able to attend the ACF conferences and see how the system is changing, to see how things are becoming different. Just this past summer, Chef Greg and I had the opportunity to go to the American Culinary Federation conference in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, really?
And we got to attend classes on how to start marketing restaurants to millennials, pop-up restaurants, the changes in dining trends and health food trends and why that's important. And there are all these little hour and a half long seminars, but they're things that, you know, as chefs, we kind of live in the kitchen that we work in. That's where our brain sort of stops, is in those four walls a lot of the time. And, you know, we know that we make good food there, and that's important, and that's what we care about. But in order to really excel in this industry and to really grow, you have to be willing to find that education outside of this, to read those cookbooks, to get involved in, you know, different restaurants or try out recipes at home. That exposure is what makes you better. And, you know, especially with traveling, like I tell the kids all the time that if you have it, if you have the ability, like if you're not, you know, if you're not in a relationship and you're not tied down or don't have any kids, traveling is the best thing you can do for yourself when you get your culinary degree. Because the more you expand your worldview and the more you expose yourself to different cultures and to different people and different foods, the better of a chef you're going to become, because you're going to have that wealth of knowledge to pull from for your own kind of inspirations and creations.
I wonder, I always ask this question of folks who cook, are recipes really accurate? Because I, you know, sometimes, you know why I'm asking that.
I think some of them are, but you really don't know until you try it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because we've done some in class and we're like, And then we've done some that, you know, take away some. And what I've noticed is they have a lot of ingredients. Sometimes it's just way too much. You want to find the simplest one.
Simplicity is a good thing. Yeah.
You'll see something and it must have 25 different ingredients.
And it's just like,
and does it make a difference?
It really does make a difference. And then two, you know, by doing that, by just trying out a recipe, two, you can make it your own. You can say, okay, I don't like this, I'm gonna take that out next time, or you know that. But I've just learned to use the simplest one.
Okay, so Simple is better.
I always tell them, if you're ever making a dish and you have to use more than two hands to count what's in it, pull back and simplify. You have really? You've gone way too far overboard.
Okay. Yes.
Only because, like, once you get over 10 ingredients, your flavors, if they're not, if you're not careful, well, they start to muddle.
That's what I wondered.
And so it's if your flavors start to get muddled, you know, if you're making like a basil sauce or something like that, mm-hmm. and then you start adding in all these other herbs on top of it, well, your basil flavor is going to get muddled, and you're not going to have that strong basil flavor you want, mm-hmm. you know, or... But then in some instances, it works really well, like with a mole sauce, which is a typical Mexican sauce, yeah. you know, made with like chocolate and 22 other ingredients. All of those things seem very odd when you look at them apart, but when they come together and you pour it over chicken, it's a whole different dining experience, yeah, and they somehow enhance that flavor. So it's knowing what flavors can play off of each other really well mm-hmm. and how to kind of do that tightrope balancing act.
Yeah. Now, talking about an hour, you see the time is gone. mm-hmm. And I still have, you know, a couple little things that I would like to ask. But again, I would like to extend my sincere appreciation for you all taking the time to come and share your knowledge and your expertise with me and the listening audience. And to my listening audience, I say thank you for your ear and your time. Tune in next week. Same time, same place to get the 411 on 411 Team. Four 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Teen archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.